I actually recently went to a movie night that was sponsored by a student group at Ripon College. And the movie was one of those movies that had this great twist ending. And I had actually already seen it a couple of times. But I still actually really enjoyed it. And if you know me, you know I love movies. But one of the reasons I enjoyed rewatching this movie that I had already seen and that I already knew the ending to was because sometimes knowing makes all the difference. Since I knew the ending, I could view certain scenes and the interactions between characters in a new light. Because sometimes knowing makes all the difference. I know that FBC is going through a trial right now. And I am sure that some of you are facing trials of all sorts of kinds right now in your own lives as well. Today, we are going to see three truths that God wants us to know. Three unshakable truths for those in Christ that we can hold on to no matter what circumstances we are facing or will face in our lives. Because sometimes knowing makes all the difference. This morning, we're going to continue the series in Ephesians that Pastor Tim started with y'all last week. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It is so important for you to see and read and hear God's word for yourself. Don't take my word for it. See and hear what God wants to say to you this morning. So Ephesians 1, 15. I titled my sermon for this morning, Get Hip. Now, I know that phrase may not mean much to some of you, and if that's you, you really need to get hip. Getting hip means to get with the program, which maybe you don't know what that means. It means to know something, okay? It means to know something, and that's exactly what God is telling us in our passage this morning. There are three truths that he wants us to know, and HIP is actually a very convenient acronym for those truths. They're hope, inheritance, and power. HIP. Hope, inheritance, and power. So God really wants us to get hip this morning. So we're going to look at each one of those truths in turn and apply them to our lives. It's a pretty simple structure this morning. But as we begin, let's go before our Father together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have not left us to wander unknowingly in the dark. And even as we sang the songs this morning that confess that there's times that we don't know, there's certain things we can't see, we do know that you have given us in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, through your body, you have given us everything we need for life and godliness, now and forever. And so, God, thank you that you have not left us in the dark. You have given us the way to know you through your Son, the Word made flesh, and through your Word, the Bible, that is living and active and that your Spirit uses to teach us and to transform us. And so we ask that you would do that this morning and that you would sink these three truths deep into our hearts, not so that we would just have more knowledge, but so that we would know you and so that we would live these truths. So thank you so much for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so follow along with me as I read starting in Ephesians 1:15, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter and then we'll kind of come back and break it down. So Paul continues, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Whew. This is what I like to call a dense passage. There is so much in this passage. We're actually doing a study on the book of Ephesians for our lunchtime Bible study this year. We do a lunchtime Bible study on Thursdays, 12:15 to 12:45, and we've been working our way through Ephesians. And we started last semester, and we finally have made it to like Ephesians 5 now. But it's because chapter 1 and 2 took us so long, because they're so dense. Paul just keeps piling up these amazing phrases. And the students were like, are we ever going to finish Ephesians? But we were delighting in how much is there. There are so many significant words and phrases, and we could truly take weeks to study all the nuances and theological insights in just our passage. And that's one of the reasons that I love God's word, because no matter how deeply you mine it, no matter how many times you've read a passage, it keeps yielding more and more and tells us more and more about God, how to know him, how to follow Jesus and walk in the Spirit. That is the word that you're holding in your hands or looking at on your phone. That's God's word. But even though this is a dense passage, the structure is actually fairly simple. So verses 15 to the first half of 18 are simply the introduction to Paul's prayer. The second half of verse 18 and verse 19 tell us the three things that we need to get hip to: hope, inheritance, and power. Those three things that God wants us to know. And then verses 20 to 23 expound really on the power of God as seen in Jesus Christ. So look with me again at that introduction, verse 15 to the first half of 18. It says, for this reason, and this is one of those times where actually he says for this reason, and so a lot of times you have to go backwards, but then Paul just says the reason again. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know. Okay, so that's our introduction. And I hope you notice the whole Trinity, Paul's invoking the whole Trinity, right, to help us know. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know. And FBC, I want to tell you that I have heard of and I was blessed to experience your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward me and my family, for one another, and toward saints around the world while I was here, and continuing to this day. And I am so, so thankful for you. You were and continue to be a sweet blessing and evidence of God's grace to me and to my family. I love you. And I do want God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to open the eyes of all of our hearts to know these three great truths that he has for us in his word this morning. Before we jump into the truths, I want you to understand what it means to know. When I'm saying to know, I want you to know what that means. In the Bible, knowing is not just head knowledge. It's head, heart, body, and soul knowledge. Kind of like that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Knowing means knowing with your whole being. It's the difference between knowing about something and actually knowing something. So for all you Packer fans in here, if probably a lot of you, and myself as well, you know a lot of facts about Aaron Rodgers, right? You might know, you know, his stats. You might know where he went to college. We might know all sorts of things about Aaron Rodgers. But if you tried to show up to Aaron Rodgers' house for a hangout, he would probably call the police, right? Because you know about Aaron Rodgers, but you don't know Aaron Rodgers. And that is the difference between knowing about and knowing. So when I say knowing this morning, I'm not talking about just knowing about. I'm talking about knowing it in your soul so that it actually transforms your life and you live it out. That it matters every day to you. That it sinks into your heart. So it's not just a head thing. So when we talk about these truths that God wants us to know, it's not just some things he wants us to remember for a pop quiz later, or that we're going to know the definition of these words better when we leave here this morning. Yeah, we have to understand them in our minds, or we can't get it into our hearts. It can't transform your life until you actually know what it means. But it's more than just knowing what it means. So often, I think, as Christians, we can mistake knowledge for maturity. And Paul tells us so often in so many of his letters, and God tells us throughout his word in so many ways, that it's not what you know, it's how you live your life. Love is the mark of Christian maturity. That you are loving God with all you are and loving your neighbor as yourself and his power and strength. And so when I say no today, what I really mean is live. He doesn't just want you to know it in your mind. He wants you to feel it in your heart and live it out every day. So that's the goal, okay? So first, God wants you to live. What is the hope to which he has called you? What is the hope to which he has called you? What is that? What's the hope to which he has called us? Romans 5:2 tells us very simply, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then we're like, okay, glory of God. That's, you know, that's kind of a big phrase. It's one of those phrases that we use a lot in church, but it's kind of like, what does that mean? What hope is there in that for me? And 2 Corinthians 3:12 and 18 explains, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So our hope is the glory of God, and this hope gives us boldness to behold God's glory. And as we behold God's glory, we're transformed. Romans 8, 14 to 30 explains even further. And I know this is a long passage, but I want you to kind of listen for the hope in this passage, okay? So Romans 8, 14 to 30. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're going to get to inheritance in a little bit. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So our hope is the glory of God. And this hope makes us bold to behold his glory. And as we behold his glory, we are transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And one day, when Jesus returns, we will be fully glorified. And creation will be restored. And as Habakkuk 2:14 puts it, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Our hope is the glory of God. He will be glorified forever and ever, and we will bask in his glory. We will be glorified without sin, without death, living with him perfectly for all eternity. And creation will be glorified, perfect, as he originally designed it to be in the garden. Now that is hope. And so that's what we need to get hip to this morning, hope. And I also want you to know that hope in the Bible is not like cross your fingers and I really hope that I get a pony for my birthday. It's not that kind of hope. Hope in the Bible is the confident expectation because we know it rests on God and not on us. Because he has already done these things in Christ. He has all of his promises, all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. So hope in the Bible is the confident expectation that God will do it. And that's the kind of hope that I need. So what does that hope mean for us now? Because we talked a lot about future hope, right? That God's going to restore all things, that he will be glorified and we will be glorified and creation will be restored. But what does it mean for us now? Well, first, it puts our sufferings in perspective. In the passage that we just read there in Romans, Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Your suffering is doing something good in you and for you and for the glory of God. And all of that glory that it is producing is not even worth comparing to whatever the suffering is. It's not even worth comparing. Christians never suffer in vain. If you are a follower of Jesus, you never suffer in vain. And all of the suffering that we go through is doing something. It's producing glory. That's a reason for hope right now. Secondly, this hope helps us to keep our eyes up and out. So we keep our eyes up on God. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times trials helps me be like, wow, that song we sang at the end, "I need you, God." It's a great reminder. I need him just as much when I'm not in the trials, but the trials help me remember it, right? And so we keep our eyes up on God and out on the glorious future that we have with him. As Christians, we are to be a future-oriented people living in light of eternity. We don't have to be prisoners to our past. We don't have to be paralyzed in the present because we have a sure and glorious future. Amen? So the second thing, though, that God wants us to live into after hope is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Last week, Tim pointed out six blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus from the first half of Ephesians chapter 1. And as Tim pointed out, one of those blessings is that our inheritance is God. What? We get God? Yeah, we get God. That's so stunning. Like, just ponder that for a while this afternoon. But in our passage, God wants us to know another thing about inheritance. He wants us to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So we have an inheritance, and God has an inheritance. We get God, and God gets us. But what's cool is it gets even better. God shares his inheritance with us. So we get God, God gets us, and God shares us with each other. So we get God and we get each other. He shares his inheritance with us. So the second thing that God wants us to live into is this riches, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Christians are a rich and glorious inheritance for God, and he wants us to know how rich and glorious his inheritance is. So let me ask you, FBC, how many Christians do you know? And I'm not talking about know about. I'm talking about know. How well do you know them? Are you diving into God's glorious inheritance in the saints? Do you love the bride of Christ and revel in his inheritance in the saints? Or do you just kind of like put up with it? Like once a week for an hour is about all I can handle. Thank you. Do you do the bare minimum? Do you do the bare minimum? Or are you actually diving in and basking in and fully enjoying your brothers and sisters? Because God enjoys you. You are his riches and glorious, rich and glorious inheritance. So if we don't enjoy it, we are disagreeing with God. We are not in line with God's thinking when we fail to enjoy the body of Christ. God wants you to know, to live in the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints. Are you hip? So, what did I do? I have three suggestions for how you can actually do this. Because I know it's hard. I know that we all have things going on in our lives. We're busy. There's so many easy excuses we can go to like, yeah, I don't have time for that. I can't. But I have three suggestions for how we can actually start to enjoy the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints. One is read your Bible, because these are accounts of and from saints that have gone before us. We can like get to know Moses, David, Solomon, Paul. We can actually fellowship with these saints through the word. And yes, we're learning about God and fellowshipping with him, but we're also getting to know them and their personalities and their struggles. So read your Bible. Second, read books by Christian authors. These are actually more accounts of and from the saints that have gone before us. So one of the things I love to do with students in the college ministry is read C.S. Lewis. I've read Mere Christianity with students. I'm reading right now through Mere Christianity with a student who's not a Christian, but I've formed a relationship with him and he's willing to read it with me. And so I'm having fellowship with C.S. Lewis, who's been dead for a long time. You can have fellowship with Christians around the world through reading Christian books. And then the third suggestion comes a little bit closer to home. Take another Christian you know, but maybe don't know that well, out for coffee or lunch and listen to their journey with God and share yours with them. That would be awesome, an awesome way to dive into the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints. Christians, we are God's glorious inheritance, and we get to be with him together for all eternity. So let's start exploring and enjoying the riches God has for us right now. I want to tell you a story about a young man that I met his freshman year, and he's now a senior. And we've been meeting off and on during that whole time. And he grew up in the church. His parents were Christians. You know, he grew up going to church, part of youth group. And when he came to college, as many students do, he kind of got out of the habit of going to church. And he showed up at our fellowship, but he also joined a fraternity. And he started to have other family. And they weren't family that were Christians or were pointing him to Jesus. And so we would meet, but then for weeks he would just kind of not show up to our meeting. So I'd be there, hey, are you coming? Not hear from him. Oh, sorry, you know. And it was kind of this, he was figuring it out. And so kept pursuing him, you know, he had to kind of learn his lessons. But in the last 2 years, he has understood something, and he actually quit his fraternity, and he started showing up regularly to not only our meetings, but going to church. And he just said to me the other day, like, Luke, it's so much different. It's so much different now. I have different friends, and they're helping point me to Jesus. That's God's glorious inheritance in the saints. So are you hip to God's inheritance? The first thing we got to get hip to is hope. The second thing we got to get hip to is that inheritance. And the last thing in this passage that God wants us to get hip to know, to live in, is power. Paul gives us an awesome explanation of this power starting in verse 19. God wants us to know, get hip to live. Look at it there in verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? And then he's just going to pile up all these phrases. It's like once he started thinking about power, and then he gets on Jesus and he can't stop. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the first thing to know about the power, is it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. That's the power that we need to get hip to in our lives, the power to live a life of following Jesus. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And not only that, seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, just in case you're wondering where that is, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. So you worried about politics? Don't worry about it. He's got way more power than that. You worried about coronavirus? Don't worry about that. He's got way more power than that. Whatever you're worried about, Christ has infinitely, immeasurably more power. So don't worry about that. And then it says, he put all things under. So first he says he's above everything, and then he reminds us again, in case you missed it, he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So he is head over all things, but now God gave him in a special way to the church as head over all things. And then even these phrases about the church, which is his body, and then the fullness of him who fills all in all, the church is the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all? Wow. So like, we are his body, and somehow, mysteriously, we're the fullness of him who fills. It's a crazy phrase, so that's another one you can ponder this week. But I just want to remind you, whose power is this? It's God's power. And what kind of power? Oh, you know, just the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power by which he rules over literally everything. So how do we live in this power, though? How do we live in this power? It's as simple as a lamp that you have on your desk. How does that lamp get power? You plug it in. So how do we plug in? We know this. You abide in Jesus. We walk by the Spirit. We put on the full armor of God. We read God's word. We pray. We spend time with one another. We love. We serve. And whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We stay connected with Jesus. That's how we plug in, how we live in this power. So FBC, we need to get hip. We need to live in the hope to which God has called us, the hope of his glory. We need to live in the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and we need to live in his power, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead and by which he rules over all things.